Psalm 107 today. I wanted to look at the topic of he sent his word and healed them. I was blessed to be taught a wonderful verse last week, and I thought I'd share with you, not this one, but leading towards that, in Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. God's word he sent in many forms. He sent it the written word. He sent Jesus Christ, who was the living word. He made known his word by the prophets. But the purpose of God giving his word was deliverance, healing, and blessing. Psalm 107:20. Right. That was the purpose of giving his word. His word, God's word, delivers, and it heals, and blesses. In Psalm 119, while we're in Psalms, in verse, again, we could look at a lot of verses related to God's word and what a blessing it is. Psalm 119, 130 says, "The entrance of thy words," God's words, "the entrance of God's words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." God's word heals. God's word delivers. God's word gives light. So if you need deliverance, healing, and you're in any kind of darkness in your life in whatever way, right, the solution is the same. It's God's word. God's word is the solution to your problems. That's why Jesus Christ is called the living word. He is the solution to all the world's problems. As one man said, Jesus Christ is the true answer to all philosophy. All the various philosophical things people look for, the meaning of life and all this. The answer is simple. Jesus Christ. You can put the other books away now. It's Jesus Christ. He's the answer to all the problems that exist. And God's word, in its various forms, is the answer to our darkness, to we need for deliverance, need for light in any area whatsoever. It's God's word. But the interesting thing is, you've got to get that word. Just knowing that it's God's word doesn't do you or me any good. I have to get that word that is needed for my particular situation in order to see the light and the deliverance that God's word brings. Jeremiah chapter 15. So Jeremiah 15, you guys know this verse. But we'll read it. Kind of fun to read. Verse 16 of Jeremiah. And again, this is physically finding the word which had been hidden and the scrolls had been destroyed or under rubble. And they physically found the scrolls, if you will, at that time in Israel's history. In verse 16, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." And we know, but Jeremiah, there's another section, you know, in Jeremiah where he did try to not speak God's word. Remember that section where he said, you know, because he chose to forbid. He goes, you know, I'm not going to speak this because every time he opened his mouth, it seemed like someone slapped it or someone threw him in a dung or someone tried to kill him. And he said, you know, everything I do with the word causes me derision or problems, right? But then he says, but it was like a fire inside him, and he couldn't stop from speaking it. That was the importance of the word of God. And it was the word, when he took God's word, eating it physically, not physically the scrolls, but thinking about it, meditating on it, that's eating, that's what eating means, thinking about it, trying to understand it. And as you go through that process, then, guess what? Joy and rejoicing at the word. Not just kind of casually hearing and walk by, oh, that's kind of interesting. No, that's not what Jeremiah's talking about. He's talking about eating it. He's talking about thinking about it, putting it there, and meditating on it, asking God for understanding, and taking it through to the point where it sinks into your heart, and then joy and rejoicing at the Word. God's words. It's God's words. I mean, every time I think about that, I kind of shiver a little bit. God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, had this recorded for us, either the written word or by revelation, or however you get the word. It's the creator's words. How dare we treat them with anything but the utmost of respect and doing our best to understand them. It's his word, not mine. No man could ever have come up with this. It's God who did that. In Luke chapter 4, actually let's go to Matthew 15 for a second. Matthew 15, Matthew 8. Did I say 15? I meant 8. No, I always say 8 and 15, confused.
They're both good.
Matthew 8, verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. So, you know, man with a need, serious need. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion, I love this, answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. He said, Jesus, give me the word. Give me the word that I need for this situation of my servant here, and I know that will be enough. That is going to do the work that's required. He sent his word and healed them. Joy and rejoicing brings light, gets you out of darkness. In this case, it was physical darkness, and the centurion said, just give me the word. Just give me the word. I need that word. Give it to me. Right? And Jesus, look what he said. I am, you know, for verse 9, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he do it. And a soldier, you know, a soldier in the army. I work for the military. No, they say, you, get your butt over there. The guy doesn't say, well, I don't really feel like it. No. He gets, jumps up and gets over there. Right? Military is like, command, you do this. You know, no questions asked. It's a matter of death and life in the military, right? And the centurion knew this. And he said, I command soldiers, and I tell them to do this. And they do it. And I know, Jesus, if you command this sickness, it's just going to go. It's going to go. And Jesus, verse 10, marveled, heard it. He marveled and said, gee, I have not found so great faith for believing. No, not in Israel. Nobody in Israel believes the way you do. No. But it was the word. He said, give me the word. Let me hear that word that I need to hear. Verse 9:13, and Jesus said unto him, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so will be done unto thee. And the servant was healed in the self same hour. The word worked. The word brought life. The word brought deliverance. Now, had that centurion not gone after the word, would his guy have been healed? No. Did no good for him to know the word was around and people believed it. He went to Jesus and said, give me the word. I need that word. Give it to me. I want to hear it. And I know it'll do it. Even more than my soldiers do what I ask them. It's going to do the job. And then he got after it and got the word. You kind of wonder how much in our lives we put forth that kind of diligence in an area that we might have a need in. Do we put forth the kind of diligence that is required to bring the Word of God front and center so that's all you think about? Most times Christians spend more time thinking about their problems than they do about the solution, which we've seen very simply is God's Word. It's God's Word. It will bring the deliverance. It will bring the light. God said it would. If this doesn't work, we've got nothing left. Nothing. Might as well eat, drink, and be merry, like Paul said. In Luke chapter 4. Again, this is one of my favorite sections of Scripture. You guys know this section. Luke chapter 4. So, you know, any area we need help, physical, financial, mental, spiritual, it doesn't really matter. God is the one who has the solution. He gave his son for us, and through all the work Jesus Christ did, we have so much word that we can believe. But, you know, it has to be the word that's required. This is a good example of that. Jesus, verse 1, being full of the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So God had him go into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Okay. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. You know, again, word. A lot of things happening in this section. We won't look at all the details about words, you know, if you were the Son of God. Did the devil have any doubt that he was the Son of God? Of course he knew he was the Son of God. That was meant to hurt Jesus. If, you know, I know you say you are, but are you really? Doubt. Hitting him with doubts. If thou be the Son of God. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written. What are things that are written? Words. Words. Jesus Christ knew the scriptures. He says here, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. See, even Jesus Christ had to live by the words of his Father God. And he knew them. So here, the devil tempts him and says, look, you know, 40 days, okay. When it says he was hungry, it's a figure of speech, okay. He was probably starving, right? And the devil, as his manner is, and if you read, we've looked at the adversary, what is the best way to attack somebody in their weakest area? So what does he do? He tempts him with food. You know, he's smart. He knows weaknesses. So he tempts him with food, and Jesus Christ knew the word that would deal with that situation. Man shall not live by bread alone. And all he did was spoke some words, just a couple of words. Okay. Verse 5, and the devil take him on a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. All of them, you know, Coca-Cola and all these, Pepsi and Molson and all that stuff. All the kingdoms. Right? There are a lot of them out there. He showed him all the kingdoms. Jerusalem Herald. Okay. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them. So the first thing with the hunger didn't work. So now he's going to tempt him with power and authority. And for that is delivered unto me. So he had the authority over those things. And to whomsoever I will, I give it. The adversary is called the God of this world. He has the authority to do that. I'll give it to you, Jesus. If, I love there, a lot of ifs in the devil's talk. Thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. Everything. You got it all. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written. You know, it is written really should be the badge of every Christian's walk. We ought to know what is written. What if Jesus Christ didn't know that was written? What would he have done? They're just words. All they are words. But words filled with believing. He believed the words also. Get thee behind me. And for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. He knew what was written. That's from Deuteronomy. He knew that it was written back in Deuteronomy. You know, which leads me to another thing. You know, when it comes to Christians, do you think memorizing scripture is a good thing? Do you think it's a good thing to memorize scripture? Is it difficult to memorize scripture? You know, Liam was in the play a little while ago. You know, one of the kids had 150 lines, right? 250 lines in a play that they recently did. That's a lot of scripture. People will put effort towards the things of the world. They'll memorize procedures and all kinds of stuff and ingredients in Subway. So be the thing. Memorize all kinds of stuff, right? But when it comes to the Word of God, sometimes people don't think it's important to memorize Scripture. You know, one of the best ways to do research, very complicated. You read a verse, you memorize it, and you think about it. And said in the Bible that it's God who gives understanding to you. Why would he give understanding? Because he authored it. If anybody knows what it means, it's God. But I have to do the effort to to think about, okay, what does it say? It says here, okay, Father, I know you sent your word, and what does that mean? You know, you sit there, and you just think about it, and you pray and ask for God's understanding. If the Lord himself thought it was important enough to memorize Scripture, how about us? Would it be important? You know, verse 9, and he brought him to Jerusalem. I told you the Jerusalem Herald was involved here. And he set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be three times, if thou be the Son of God. By this point, you know, enough of the ifs. If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from thence, hence. For it is written. Now, the adversary, the devil, is catching on to Jesus Christ's tact here. You go, well, okay, you want to play the It Is Written game with me? I can do the It Is Written thing. I know the word. Let's go. Let's go head to head here. So he quotes from Psalms. If, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in thy hand they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Is that written in the Bible? Mm-hmm. Is that accurate? Mm-hmm. Absolutely, it's in Psalm. It's exactly accurate. So the devil knows God's word. He knows the word. He knows the better word better than most Christians. He knows what the word of God says. It is written. He says, look, Jesus, that's written. See, there you go. Jump. Because the Bible says, your own Father says to you, if you jump, he will protect you. Psalm, look at it, Jesus, right here. And Jesus answering and said unto him, it is said, or it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And that was the right word for the situation. The devil was quoting completely out of context. You know, completely out of context. A man comes to you, a person comes to you and say, you know, I really need help. I'm not really a peaceful person. You know, I'm always disturbed and upset. You say, oh, it is written, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. There you go.
The guy goes, okay. Walks away.
You see, it's the word of God that is required. What's the word? Like the centurion said, give me the word. What can I believe? Show me what to believe to deal with the situation. And Jesus said, wow, that's all you want? Okay, here you go. Healed. Here, Jesus Christ. Jump. God will save you. You don't tempt God. And that was the right word. So, you know, how important is it for me and you to understand God's word? How am I going to deal with situations if I don't know the application of his word to situations? Just knowing 100 verses won't help me, but it will help me if I know how to apply God's word. Isn't that what Jesus Christ did? He got him right where you want to play a game? Let's play this game. It's not a game, by the way. It's life. His words are life. Verse 13, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he left him for a little while. Not forever. Left him for a little while. Proverbs chapter 4. This is the verse that I was talking about. I'm really blessed by this section of scripture here in Proverbs 4. We'll look at the topic of healing over the years, and you know, every time I see something that's related to that, note it down somewhere. And this is a verse that really blessed me this week, and it had to do with words and the importance of words and God's word and how it is the word that brings deliverance. In Proverbs 4:20. It says, my son, attend to my words. Mm-hmm. Attend to my words. That word attend is one of those words that means prick up your ears. Like, what? It's not one of those, oh yeah, that's cool. Jesus was cool. You know, yeah, it is written. That's wonderful. That's good. No, it's attend to my words. You know, really, if you think about it, what is the most important thing that you know in your life? What is the most important thing that you know in your life? I'll let you answer that silently. Attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Incline means, the word is translated many times in the Old Testament, stretch out. No, stretch out your incline. Like, what was that? Was that God? You sent your word and healed? Let me hear that again. Pick up your ears and you incline. How often do we do that kind of thing with God's word? You hear the word in the morning, oh, I'm kind of tired. You read, oh, I read, oh, kind of half sleepy sometimes. That was fun. Did my religious beliefs a day, move on my way. I'm not saying we all do that, okay? But it happens. We do it sometimes. But how about incline, attend? I think I'd rather read one verse in the morning that I attended to or inclined my ear to than five chapters and not remember one thing. Incline thine ear. The word, if you think about this, what we're looking for, you will get deliverance from the word. There's no other answer in the world. This is it, okay? This is it. Christ is it. That's it. So once we know that, that's a good place to start, right? We know the answer. So now how to get the deliverance? You get the word, you attend to it, you incline your ears, you get your ears. Okay, I know what it says. Okay, I have this need. For the most part, most people will think about their need more frequently during the day than they will think about the solution to that need. Doesn't say dwelling on darkness brings light. It says the entrance of his words brings light. You know, if I don't know what the word says, I'm kind of, you know, Jesus was, you know, oh, you jump off the temple. Yeah, it said that. Okay, let's try. No. He knew what the word said. His tracking, his mind was right there. You don't tempt God. That's not how we live. You know, so to know that word, we got to memorize word scriptures. I mean, like I said, it's very complicated. I mean, it's a 10-step process to deliverance. Know his word, know his word, know his word. Step four is know his word. Step five, know his word. It's not complicated, right? It's very, very simple. You put that word, you look at that word of God, you attend to it, you incline your ear to it. Let's keep reading. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Okay? You know, you got to, let's say you have a financial need, you're driving along and you go, oh, I'm not sure I'm going to make that this month. You know, like, oh, wait a minute. He shall supply all your needs according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know, you're driving along. Yeah, but that, you know, He shall supply all your needs according to riches. He shall supply all your needs according to his. You know, it's our minds. Our minds will go wherever we let them go. Not wherever they want to. If that's the case, we have no problem dealing with. They will go wherever we want them to go. It's up to me or you to bring our mind back, attend, incline, let them not depart from thine eyes. God has said to us, if you keep my word, I will deliver you. That's what he said. He's given us the word. The solution's already there. Now it's for me or you to attend, incline, and let it not depart from our eyes. So, you know, your work, you know, your 8 hours, seven, and not whatever, how many hours you work, your need might still be there. And a lot of times you might think of your need all the time. Well, how about just replacing it with the solution, which is his word? Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. That word keep is a word that means to guard. An old Testament meaning of it was where you have a bunch of thorns around you, like bushy thorns, that keep everybody away from what you're trying to protect. And here God is talking about the word, guarding the word. By his stripes I was healed. He sent his word and healed them. I am the Lord that healeth thee. You know, he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. All these verses and things that you keep in the midst of your heart. And someone says, well, you know, but you're preaching that, but you have this physical problem. Yeah. I could let that now deter me from what is true, which is exactly what the ifs of the adversary were intended to do to Jesus Christ. And he didn't even give it the time of day. He said, it is written. So here I'm, you know, let's say I have a physical need, and I'm sharing with you about healing. The devil would like to do to me is say, well, you have this physical need. How come you can talk about that? Well, that would be fine if it was my word. But is it my word? It's God's word. And God has given us the assurance that he sent his word and delivered them, healed them, brought light, brought deliverance. And he will do it every single time. If it doesn't, like I said, this is it. There's no other answer. This is the answer. Next verse, 21, 22. For they, the words that you attend, incline, and depart not from, and keep, they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Here it is. Health to all their flesh. Yeah, but you don't understand this, you know, I've been dealing with this for a long time, but you don't. Health to all their flesh. Was, you know, when a person believed, was there anything that Jesus Christ couldn't heal? Healing every all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among people. It says everything. But incumbent upon me and you to attend, incline, keep, and not let it depart the words. Very simple words, not complicated. Just keeping that word right there, front and center, right there. In Genesis 1, God spoke his word, and what happened? He said, let there be light, and what happened? There was light. He spoke, what happened? Things happened. You speak God's word on believing lips, and God's results will follow. They have to. He has promised it in his word. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. Their words were found, and I ate them up, and they were the joy and rejoicing to my heart. Just the simple word, meditating on his word, thinking his word. We'll close in Hebrews chapter 4. You know this verse. You know all this. Hebrews 4:12. We'll close there. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is quick and powerful. It's backed up by the creator of the heaven and the earth, who spoke his word in many ways, and lately, like it says in Hebrews, he spoke to us by way of Jesus Christ. And his word is given to heal, to deliver, to bring light. But again, incumbent upon us to attend, incline, guard, keep, let it not depart. And then the blessings of life and health to all flesh and light that God has promised in his word. So he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions.